We're back with Michelle Goldberg. Bill Russell was talking about population. We used to worry about too many, then we worry about too few, and now we worry about too many, and this is more complex.
This discussion is about, to me, I'm trying on the subject, it's about the Enlightenment and using evidence as a basis for making decisions. Mm-hmm. And what you presented...
You're not trite, Bill, you're just regular.
Consistent. And what you, the evidence you provide, it, to me, is just a remarkably clarifying about how to address the fear mongering that's going on, mm-hmm. particularly in Europe, in this country.
Well, the thing that I find truly amazing, and that I didn't necessarily realize when I set out to start this book, is that it turns out that women's rights are, and kind of giving women, you know, control over their own bodies, over their own reproductive lives, is the answer to overpopulation. And we can see that to some degree. That's a little more intuitive. But it turns out that it's also the answer to rapid population decline, which is also actually a problem.
You don't often hear that that's a problem. So it helped me
you don't hang out in the wrong place.
That's the thing. This is so polarized in that the left sees overpopulation as a problem.
Well, it's killing the planet.
And the right, has often been kind of in denial, at least since the rise. The religious right insists that there is no such thing as overpopulation. In fact, the real problem is rapid population decline. And the tricky thing is that it can sound really racist and outrageous to say that we have a problem, with too few Europeans and, you know, kind of too many people in the developing countries. The fact is that the population of the Earth is not shrinking. You know, we're going to top 9 billion within the next 40 years. And at the same time, rapid population decline in certain countries is also a problem. Not so much because of the absolute numbers, but because of the aid structures. You know, if you care about European social welfare policies and things like that, you cannot have this kind of, triangle-shaped population structure with very few young people supporting all of these old people. And immigration can address this to some extent, but, you know, one of the numbers I had in the book is that if Italy's 1995 birth rate was consistent over 100 years, Italy would shrink to 14% of its current population. So if you want to bring in the immigrants to make that up, you know, I think I'm a big believer in, like, really large-scale immigration, but you can't do it so quickly that you ignite huge nationalist backlashes, which you're bound to do.
And so, and you talk about culture. Culture is all over that.
Yeah, exactly. I actually don't think it's outrageous for people to want to, you know, people have to be flexible, and there's, you know, European culture is going to change, but I don't see anything outrageous or completely ethnocentric about people wanting to preserve some of the great values of European culture, you know, equality, feminism, gay rights, social democracy. But what we see, and what I think is so interesting, is that the right has been obsessed with population decline for a long time in Europe, and they're constantly using it to say that, you know, feminism is precipitating the death of Western civilization, Europe is going to be overrun by Muslims who are outbreeding us. But what we see is that after a certain level of development, there is an inverse correlation, or there's a direct correlation between patriarchy and rapid population decline. You know, in countries like where a certain level of development and kind of modernization has been reached, but that haven't had similar evolutions and kind of gender roles and social dynamics, you know, in countries like Poland, Japan,
Italy, Spain,
you know, it's not a coincidence that a lot of these are Catholic countries where women want to combine work and family, but the infrastructure and the social attitudes and the government policies to support that don't exist. They're not having children. I call that chapter the birth strike. In countries that do make generous allowances for working women, you know, France, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, birth rates are actually totally sustainable. And so, again, what we see is that if you're really worried about overpopulation and if you're worried about underpopulation, women's rights are the answer. And the deeper message, I think, is that when you give women kind of control over their own fertility, they will make the right decisions. You know, things will stabilize. You know, people talk about feminism as if it was this kind of destabilizing and chaotic force. And if we could just go back to this earlier way, we would all live in harmony. Whereas, in fact, I think that in today's world, women's rights are kind of a harmonizing and a stabilizing force.
Well, again, human rights.
Yeah, the human rights of women, we should say.
The human rights applied to, let us say, all humans. Mm-hmm. There's another piece that you don't, point that I don't think you make. It seems to me part of this demographic problem is the retirement and supporting an aging population. Part of the cure for that is to bring more women into the workforce. If women were participating at the same level as men, it's still a challenge, but it is not as much of a challenge. And that participation, again, the statistics of this seem to be fairly clear.
Participating as equals, so they would be getting the same kinds of incomes and the.
Well, first participation, yeah. Equality is longer, but yes, ultimately as equals as a human right, but just the ability to participate mm-hmm. would seem to be it has two advantages. One, it addresses the pension problem, and secondly, it addresses the birth. And what you're saying is the sweet spot in population mm-hmm. Centers around empowered women.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, the reason that Sweden initially adopted all these really family-friendly policies was not because they were so much concerned with feminism as that they had a labor shortage. And so they, you know, realized they needed to recruit women into the workforce on a big scale. Germany also had a labor shortage, didn't want to do that, you know, had this kind of Christian social democratic tradition, so instead decided to rely on massive numbers of guest workers, and which has created, you know, all kinds of other problems for Germany, whereas, in Sweden, these policies, which weren't necessarily designed to empower women, but had that as a kind of corollary effect, have had just a whole host of beneficial effects on the health of the society.
Of course, the right wing just delights in pointing to Sweden as the arch bad guy, and yet you've got to have somebody who's been willing to do the experiments and say, "Well, you know, it works."
Yeah, and it's really amazing. I mean, one really wonders what exactly is this dystopia that they're imagining? You know, this dystopia of high education rates, low poverty rates, better health care than we have. You know, Sweden is not a perfect society, and there are things I prefer about the United States. You know, I prefer its dynamism, its immigration, its multiculturalism. But we have a lot to learn from Scandinavia.
We also have a lot to learn from our history. It is interesting to me, we don't dwell on this, but you say that the right wing has effectively taken on a Marxist argument.
Well, this is really something that's so interesting when you start looking at the history and you look at the archives. You know, it used to be that kind of these cold warriors, these national security types in the United States, believed that overpopulation was going to cause so much misery that it was going to lead to communist revolution. We're talking in the 60s and 70s. And so we need to, you know, blanket the developing world with contraception. We need to bring safe abortion all to the world. And the communist argument was that no, overpopulation is not a problem. The real problem is an unjust economic order. You know, at the time, the New York Times at one point characterized it as Marx versus Malthus. And since then, the arguments have completely switched. So that the communist countries, China being the kind of greatest example, and China, I think, has done it in an abusive way, but have fully bought into these arguments about overpopulation that they used to reject out of hand. And the United States, especially under Reagan, have become overpopulation denialists, and instead say that the only solution is going to be in laissez-faire free market capitalism.
Michelle Goldberg has much to say. We'll come back for a couple more minutes in a moment. Be with us.